That's one of my favorite, became one of my favorite songs, because when I first started praying, I didn't pray in tongues at first, but I would start going to the local college, which was in town, and I was going to the, there was a college there in town. Lisa went there, Southern, it's now Southern Nazarene University, but at the time it was Bethany Nazarene College, and they had a chapel there, and I used to go into the chapel. I was witnessing to people and different, taking names of people, and I'd just pray for them, and I'd sing that song, and I remember just getting so far, just the Lord would just come, and He'd just love on me, and I wasn't praying. I wouldn't say I wasn't filled with the Spirit, but I wasn't praying in tongues, I'll say that, you know, and but I knew things were changing, and I knew that, as a matter of fact, I even dated this girl for a little while, and I told her, I said, well, I'm not going to be Nazarene all my life. I don't know what I'm going to be, but I knew in my heart I wasn't going to stay there. So, well, how'd you know that? I just knew. It was a knowing down in my spirit, and I knew that I knew that I knew this is not, you know, I wouldn't be here forever. I don't know where I'm going, but praise the Lord does. But this song would come, and I would sing that, hallelujah, you know, Lord, I love you, Lord, I worship you, just me and Him. Anywhere you like to do that, just you and Him, amen, hallelujah. And He would just come so strong, and then later on I would go, and I'd get there like 6 o'clock in the morning, because I used to do a paper route, and I'd get down around 6, you know, that time, something like that. Every once in a while I'd fall asleep, not often, but once in a while I'll fall asleep. Now, if you've never fallen asleep praying, you need to pray a little longer. Get a little quieter. Be still and know that He is God. Amen. So, but anyway, that's one of my, that's, I don't know why I'm sharing it, but well, I do know why, because He's, you know, it's just something that, it means something to me, because He would come so strong sometimes, and then I'd have to leave. You know, oh, I've got, it's time for me to go, Lord. And I didn't even want to leave, you know, and I'd tell the Lord, I don't really want to leave, but I know You're here and Your presence. And it's just a special time that the Lord would come and we would chat. He began shortly after that. I was, you know, gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Started praying in other tongues. Changed my life. And of course I didn't stay there because they wouldn't accept that anyway. And I knew that in my heart. I said, Lord, they're not going to accept these things, you know. So I just had it in my heart to try to find where He wanted me to go. And I did find a place, a small church that God led me to, and things began to change. Hallelujah. And here we are today. Amen. Now, saying all that, how many know, you know, every once in a while you might find somebody that doesn't pray in tongues, you know, that really sought God enough to hear Him for His plan for their life. But it's real hard to find God's plan when you don't know what it is and you don't know how to find it. You say, well, I prayed, I asked God, I talked to God. But how many know that we have a helper on the inside? The Holy Spirit, amen? He helps us. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You for giving us wisdom and revelation and understanding. Lord, I yield my life and my heart to You, Lord. We thank You for bringing forth truth deposits, Lord, and grace impartation, Lord, that we be hearers, not just hearers of Your word, but become doers of it also, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 14, I'm going to start at verse 25. I want us to look a little bit tonight, because all of us know that we, how many here want to walk with God in His perfect will for your life? You know, you don't want His half will, do you? You know, just part of it, but we want exactly what God wants for us. Amen. And how many know there is the Word of God. How many know that the Word of God is His general will for you? Amen? And as we do and as we learn His general will, then He begins to deal with us and we discover more of His perfect will. Amen? Now, I mean, for example, let me give you an example. It's His general will that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? That each one of us be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That all of us begin to understand who we are in Him, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You begin to understand that He is in you and you are in Him, and He paid the price for you to be born again. Amen? Why? Because our price, our sin had a wage, and that wage was death, wasn't it? He said, you will surely die. And He wasn't talking about physical death. They didn't physically die immediately when Adam and Eve sinned, but they died, what, in their spiritual man on the inside. And then as time went by, eventually they did begin to die physically because they were in a, what, glorified body, unlike you and I. See, their spirit was alive to God and they had a glorified body. You talk about perfection. Wow. The glory of God dwelt upon them. Yet they had the capacity and the ability to sin because God gave them a choice, right? And it's the same with us. We live by choices that we make, amen? We don't just live by one thing, but we're to live by the Word of God. All right, did you find Luke yet? Luke 14? Good. I'm going to read a few verses here and we'll get started. Verse 25 says this, And there were great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the others are is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever likewise, whoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be My disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And so here, for some reason, I'm wearing my glasses tonight because my eyes seem to be a little bit tired. And sometimes it's harder for me to see the words when I'm a little bit, my eyes are a little tired. Anyway, but here we see Jesus who began to speak to his disciples. There's some people around. There's a great multitude with him. And he begins to talk to all of the people. He said, you want to be my disciples? In other words, if we had, you know, a great multitude, I would say is, you know, maybe it was 500, maybe it was 1,000 people. But it says here, a great multitude. There's a lot of people there. And he begins to say, my disciples must love me more than anyone else. How many know that's one of Jesus' commands, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all of our being, right? With all that we are, all our might. Love him and love our neighbor as ourself. And so he's saying here, in other words, he's, you know, it says here in the King James, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother. Now, that's a very strong word. If we look that up, in other words, Jesus is saying, you must love me more than you love your father or mother. Amen? And you must love me more than your wife. And you must love me more than your children. That might be hard for some of these mothers around here. And fathers both, but... And you must love me more, what, than the brethren and sisters, than your brothers and sisters. And you must love me more than your own life also. Or if we do not do that, if we do not love him more, we cannot be his disciple. It is impossible, in other words. He said, you must love me more than any other person. Wow. And sometimes that's how many find that that's not always easy. I love my mom. I love my dad. We should. But the more we love God, the more we'll really love them. Because his purpose and his plan for our life is more important than trying to follow our own plan or the plan that maybe mom or dad had for somebody. How many ever seen that, you know? I remember, what's that movie called? Anyway, there was a movie out that I was watching. I can't remember the name right now. And I think it was Mr. Holland's Opus, but I'm not sure. No. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, in the movie, there was a few young people, and many of them were going to a prestigious college. And one particular father said, no, you're going to be a doctor. That's what you're going to be. You know, and, oh, okay. You know, it wasn't like, what do you want to be? And he was trying to discover himself, and he really enjoyed acting, and he liked doing those kind of things, and was in the theater, and his father found out about it, and he was not happy. And within the story of this movie, the boy actually became so distraught because his father had this insistence of what he was going to be, and they were quite wealthy, and he came to the place where he actually committed suicide and killed himself. So sometimes, you know, people can take the ideas and thoughts of another above God's desire for our life. Amen? How many know we're to follow him and what he desires, not what we desire even ourselves? You know, and other times people get all kinds of ideas. Well, I just, you know, I like that. That's a good job. I can make a lot of money. I think that's what I'll do. But God asks you to do something else. You know, I know people, you know, people are called to be teachers. God could call you to be a teacher or to be a professor or to be a, you know, to work at, you know, in a different kind of field, maybe in the sanitation department. You know, that's always, you know, you know, but he could. And you say, well, I don't want to work, you know, or maybe it's in mechanics, or maybe you're fixing things at the plant, you know, and maybe you don't really like that, but that's what God called you to. You can do it, but you know that you're so smart, I could do something else, and I know I could do something else and make a lot of money. And that job doesn't pay very much. But that's what God asked you to do. He might ask you to be, well, I want to be, you know, here in Canada, teachers make a lot of money, but in the U.S., they don't start and they don't make that much money. It's kind of a, you know, not known as a rich profession. But many teachers do, because they're, most of them are diligent, and they study and they are careful with their money, you know. Many of them do become, ultimately, in the scheme of things, you know, they save their money, and they, many of them do become millionaires, actually. They get a little side job in the summer, you know, while they're off, and have some extra cash. But it's kind of interesting. I thought, wow, that's interesting. That's one of the professions where many of them can become quite wealthy just by saving. How many know what the Bible says? Did you know that the Bible says if you save little by little, you will be rich? It's in the Proverbs. I can't remember the exact verse, but that's a fact. So anyway, God's call upon our life is very important. He's saying, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow after me, if you want to find your place in my kingdom and be my disciple. Because what's the goal of the disciple? Is the goal of the disciple to just find out what God's called you to do and then just sit by the wayside? Now, the call of the disciple is to be like the master, amen? And his name is Jesus. That's right. It's Jesus, amen. Very good. It wasn't a hard question, but it wasn't a trick question. But it's to be like Jesus. That's the goal of the disciple in this case. He's the one that's teaching. And so he said, don't love anyone more than me. Not only that, don't love your own life. It has to be as, you know, we have to love him more than we love our own life. And sometimes that's not easy. You know, I remember Oral Roberts shared the fact he used to want to become a governor. But that wasn't God's plan for his life. You know, he thought, well, I'll be the governor of Oklahoma. You know, he wanted to be in the politics and do all those kind of things. That's what interested him. But God had another plan. And he chose to follow God's plan and God's purpose. Started the university, or Roberts University. Even though that wasn't his personal first choice. But how many know when you choose God's plan, it turns out so much better? Why? Because his plan is already blessed, right? His purpose, when we follow him, and as we do his will according to the word of God, the general will of God, then he begins to bring us to a place where we can, our first place is a place in him. It's a place where, yes, we become exalted, but we become exalted in the sense that we understand who God is, who we are, and how to exercise the authority that he has given us. Many times we want to know, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? What have you called me to do, Lord? What is my specific place in the body of Christ? And we should ask those questions. But that question comes as, and is secondary normally to being a doer of what he's already said. Which in this case, so far, what? Love not our own life. Don't love your own life. Don't love the people in your life more than you love me. Love me more. Put me first place. And he said, well, that's pretty simple, Pastor. I already knew that before I came tonight. But why is that important? Well, he goes on and tells us, really. And he says, if you want to come after me, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the first thing he's saying, he's asking us to do, is to bear our cross. Well, what does it mean? How many knows what happens on a cross? Have you ever thought about it? What happened to people in that day on the cross? They would die, didn't they? They killed the criminals, they killed the thieves, the liars, whatever their crime was. It was the capital punishment of the day. And so Jesus is saying here, if you're going to come after him, then there's going to require a death. You must take up your cross. And each of us, we know, what did he say in Romans 8? We mortify or put to death the deeds of the body. In other words, the carnal natures, the things that try to stop us in the flesh, we have to put that to death through the new nature, through the Spirit that he's given us. We have to exercise that authority. And here he's saying the same thing, really. He's saying you must bear his cross and come after me. He who does not bear what? His cross. How many know each of us dies to different things? That's the first cross we bear, is dying to our own will, our own desire, our own ambition, our own aim, trying to exalt ourselves. I'm going to be this. I want to be a nurse because I can make decent money and I think it'd be good for me. And God asks you to go and open an orphanage with him and take care of children. Well, I never really thought about doing that. And that may be part of his call. And how many know it's one thing? As we die to the flesh and we discover God's call on our life, then it's another thing to actually do it. Amen. To begin to progress forward into doing it, into continuing to follow him. Anyway, so we have a cross. It's the first place that he calls us to, is to bearing that cross. So if we don't take our cross, if we don't allow the things in our life to die, we're not going to be his follower, his disciple. We're not going to fulfill what God wants us to do. He said, yeah, but what do you mean? Well, if you start getting in arguments with a lot of people and so forth, and you know, you may never fulfill what God wants you to do. Because in his general will, he doesn't want us in unforgiveness and bitterness and in divisions and strife. Amen? How many know that's part of dying to our flesh? Amen. And when he says, I don't want you to do this, and he says rules in his word, how many know it's to protect us? God sets boundaries not to harm us, but to protect us. I mean, Solomon, think about that. Solomon had how many wives? 700 wives, 300 concubines? But many of them, how many know he wasn't supposed to marry him? Why? Because they were serving foreign gods. They're serving idols. They're serving gods that did not know the true and the living God. And because he hooked up with them, it caused his downfall. And he, you know, lost his kingship even. God said, I've rejected Saul as being king. And nearly, and you know, come close to really losing his whole life as far as with God. I mean, he started out real good. How many of you can start out good? But we have to continue to follow him, which is what he starts talking about here in the 28th verse. Because for which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? So here's your life. Did you not know that you are the building of God? Paul said in Corinthians, don't you know you're the temple of the living God? You are his building. You are his dwelling place. He lives in you. And he's saying here, you're building a life with me. Are you going to count the cost? Now he's making an analogy to a physical building where they lay the foundation, and you know, you would count the cost, wouldn't you? You'd look at the plans, you'd make a plan, you would check the plans out, you would find the prices for the foundation and what needs to be done, and you would say, all right, let's begin to build. And you would make sure that you had enough money, right, to finish the project. Before you got started, you say, well, it's going to cost this number of dollars. Here's how we're going to raise the money. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to build, and we're going to see it to what? Completion. Like I said about the King Saul, he didn't see his life to completion. He got sidetracked because he didn't listen to the general will of God. He could not fulfill he didn't get to fulfill his specific place as king. The anointing left his life and he was tormented. Remember, David would have to come. How many know David was his son, his son-in-law, right? Because he killed the giant, he gave him one of his daughters. This is David's father-in-law. And he had to go play the harp to get the demons to leave him alone so that he could get a little peace and quiet. Isn't that amazing? But they would come right back on him because his heart was not right with God. And then he'd go chasing after David, you know, there he is. Oh, thank God. You know, there's David. Oh, he missed me. Thank God he made friends with his brother-in-law. Amen. David, Jonathan and David. They were covenant friends. And he says, and somehow Jonathan knew. I mean, that's an amazing story, you know. Here's Jonathan. He's the heir to the throne. But yet he knew in his heart was right with God. He knew that David's to be the next king. He was anointed king. And yet he had to continue to pursue and bear a cross, didn't he? He had to die to what he wanted. It'd been nice if he was just placed into the kingship, right? But the call of God was on his life, and how many know he found out what God called him to do and was trying to follow God, but how many know, that wasn't good English. You can take that out, Joseph. Or leave it, either way. Anyway, how many know that, you know, even though David knew the call of God on his life, there were some crosses he had to still bear. He had to die to himself. He had to do what? The general will of God, didn't he? Which is God's word, God's commands, which was to honor the king. God placed him there until it was time for him to take the throne. David said, he said, I am not going to dishonor God's anointed. I'm going to honor the king. I'm going to honor the authority that God has put in that place until the time that I am placed in that power. He waited for God to put him into that kingship. Now, do you think David could have killed Saul? There was a few times he could have killed Saul. He could have taken it into his own hands and exalted himself, and people would have probably rallied with him because he was a great warrior. And yes, he would have gotten a position, but it had been by the hand of himself and the hand of man and not the hand of God. And so David was patient. How many know sometimes we have to have patience? It's part of our cross. Amen. We have to trust God. And we have to pray and seek him and say, yes, Lord. Okay, Lord, it seems like this is not the right way, God. It doesn't seem like what you're asking me to do right now is getting me to the place you want me to be. Nevertheless, it didn't look that way for David either, did it? He's hiding in the caves. He's running from Saul. He's trying to keep himself together. Hallelujah. Amen. Could have taken it into his own hands, but he refused. And in the same way, there are times we have to refuse to let man exalt us and let God do his work and be the promoter in our life. He said in what? Due time, if you seek the Lord, if we follow after him, humble ourselves before the Lord, he said, he will lift us up. He will exalt you at the right time. How many know sometimes our time is not God's time? Anybody ever done anything in your time? Oh boy. You know, and maybe it made a little mess. You know, David did some things against the general will of God and took Bathsheba and made a mess. Amen. Ended up killing somebody, and here he is. This is after he was king. He was already walking in what God wanted him to do. What God called him to do. Nevertheless, we have to keep looking and keep counting the cost, because we want to what? Finish. See, Jesus is saying, if you don't count the cost, if you don't see what it's going to take, if you don't understand, there's going to be some sacrifice. Oh, Pastor Doug, that's a good word for 2023, isn't it? Man, that's popular. Sacrifice. That means that you surrender what you want for the sake of someone else, or for the sake of what is good for everyone, amen? Or what is good for you. Maybe it's just for a time. You wait. You sacrifice. We lay our life down, don't we? And we say, okay, I don't get to have my own way, God. I want to do it your way, Jesus. I'm listening. I'm going to love you most of all. I'm going to bear my cross, and I'm going to count the cost. Whether I have enough to finish my building, Lord. Now, who supplies our help? How many know we got a helper on the inside? The Holy Spirit himself, amen. And he's going to help us as we go along. But we don't want people saying, well, he started out all right. You ever seen people, you know, they were a flash in the pan? Oh, look at all those miracles. Boy, can he preach. Woo, what a great person. Next thing you know, you don't know what happened to them. Why? Because they had not yet bear their cross. They had not died to their self. They had not counted the full cost. They had not submitted somewhere in their life to the purposes, to the full purpose of God. Maybe they got part of it, or maybe they knew this is what God wants me to do, and they began, and it didn't work out so good. It doesn't mean you're done, but how many know it can delay, amen, by our own selves, instead of dying to that flesh and submitting to the plan of God and counting the cost. All right. So the others are not mocking us, you know, and they come, they mock him, saying, this man began to build, but was not able to what? Finish. How many want to finish? Amen. So, you know, some of us are in different places and we've built for a while. You know, you're building, you're adding to yourself. What does the Bible say over there in 1 Peter, right? Wait a minute. I think it's 1 Peter. Could be 2. First Peter 2. You ever read that scripture? Let's look at it for a minute. 1 Peter 2. Oh, wait a minute. Is it 2 or 3? Just a second. I'm trying to find exactly where I'm going here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, 2 Peter 1. Sorry, 2 Peter 1. He says here, verse 5 says, and beside this, he's saying here, whereby, let's look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And beside this, giving all diligence. There's another good word for 2023, amen? So far, we've got sacrifice and diligence. That's pretty good, you know? Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, or charity for all. Having love, the love of God, for these be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So here he's telling us some of the things that are going to be in our building, right? We're going to add to our life, add to our faith virtue. Virtue to knowledge. We've got to get some knowledge in there and some temperance. How many know you need a little temperance in your life? You know what that means? Self-control. It just means, hey, I've got to have self-control, right? And it doesn't mean that we're not building. But these are some things that we add to our life as we move along. It doesn't mean that we may not have some struggles in our life. But we are allowing him to help us crucify those things from our life so that our building is complete. And ourselves, we continue to move forward and we make our election and calling what? Sure. So that we do not, what, fall. We're counting the full cost. And he goes on here in Luke 14 and he talks about the battle. And he says, what king's going to go and make war against another king who doesn't first sit down? He doesn't sit down first and he consults whether he's able with 10,000 to go against him that comes against him with 20,000. So he's thinking about it. He thinks about it first. Are we strong enough? Do we have enough equipment? Do we have enough power? Can we defeat this army that has 20,000 with our 10,000? Are we wise enough? Do we have enough men that are trained fully? Now see, it may be. Maybe they're very trained and maybe the other army is not as trained. But they think about it first. They look into it. And sometimes we have to say, oh, there's going to be a little battle in my life. There's a battle for me, what? To bear my cross. to let my flesh die, to have some diligence in my life, to add to my life faith and patience, and to add virtue and self-discipline, amen? And to say, I have self-control. Now, really, it's what God gave us. But how many know we have to practice some of those things, amen? I wasn't always fully self-controlled. I had some things I was out of control in. Maybe it's your temper. Well, he said temperance, didn't he? You know, that's self-control. It means we don't fly off the handle. My wife knows I've flown off the handle before, especially when I was first married. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I wasn't all the time, but occasionally I had a little trouble with my temper. Anybody have trouble with your temper? A little anger, you know, rising up. You can feel it rise up. You know, you're not going to do it, but then there you go. You flew off the handle, started talking when you shouldn't. Anybody ever as a teenager, you ever lose your temper at your mother or father? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God. You only do that once usually, you know. Depending on, you know, who your father or mother is, you know. He said, I shouldn't have done that, but anyway, I want to tell him off this time, or her off, you know. You know, and pretty soon, you know, if it was your mother or father, you got your first flying lesson, or, you know, they slapped you across the face and said, don't you ever talk to me like that, right? Amen. Oh, this is 2023. I forgot. Oh, I mean time out. Excuse me. There wasn't time out when I was a child. There was no time out. You might get put in time out, but they didn't call it time out. You know, they'd ground you sometimes. Yeah, make you stay home. Of course, they don't want you to stay home too much. So then usually it's some kind of chore you got to do or something. You got to get to work. So, you know, but punishment, right? You know, maybe they spanked you or maybe they beat you. I say beat. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, you know, respectfully, but to correct you, you know, hopefully, you know, depending on who your father or mother was, you know, and whether or not your anger ticked them off, got them angry with you. Amen. But, you know, I didn't talk back to my mother, you know, maybe once. You know. I talked back to my father once. That's the last time. Mm-hmm. Found out what your flying lesson was, where, you know, you got kicked in the seat of the pants. And you didn't want to fly that way again. It hurts. Or something like that. Anyway, I don't know how we got off on all that, but anyway, we're counting the cost. We're letting our life be built in Him. Based upon what? The Word of God, number one. That's number one in our life. God's not going to exalt you when we don't have quality character. See, that's what your parents were trying to put in you. That's why you didn't talk back to mom or dad, because they're trying to help you to have self-control. They're trying to teach you how to be respectful to those that are in authority, so that when you get a job, you don't tell your boss, oh, forget you. You know, I don't want to do it that way, boss. No. You learn to be respectful and say, okay, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, that's what we're going to do. That's right. Yes, sir. And not, you know, and anyway, praise the Lord. So, and that's why we have some of those things, but there is some things that take place. And we have to exercise ourselves to Him and count that cost and look, hey, there's going to be a war. And we have to decide. If you're a king, he has to decide. Am I going to fight, or am I going to try to send an ambassador and bring a means of peace beforehand. You know, talk it out. And let's see if we can stop from going to war, because I realize what the cost is. I realize maybe I can't take them. So, likewise, whosoever be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Boy, this is getting even worse. It's getting even more tough, isn't it? I thought it was enough not to love my family, not to love my brothers and sisters, my own wife, my children, lest have to love them all less than God. But how many know when you really do that, you really love him more, you'll love them more. Amen. Anyway, but here he's saying, now I've got to even let go of all that I own, all that I have, to be his disciple. He's just making it clear. You've got to let go of everything. We can't hold back. Let's not hold back in 2023, amen? Let's be that disciple. Let's be that son of God. Let's be the one that counts the cost. Let's be the one that will say, hey, it's not worth the fight. I'm going to see if I can make peace here. And I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to build my house with the tools that God has given me. I'm going to spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Because he said here, salt is good. But if you don't do these things, you're not going to be salty here. He's saying, but if the salt hath lost its savor, how could it be salt seasoned again? It cannot be, can it? Think about that. Salt is a distinct flavor, isn't it? But if it loses its flavor, it's not going to be any good. It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And what he's talking about there is a lot of times they would use it, the salt on the land, they would use it as like a fertilizer because there's minerals in the raw salt, you know, real salt. There's a lot of minerals, and they would use it to fertilize the land. And the other thing is they would use it on the dunghill because it would help with the smell and help break it down, you know. And so that's what they did, you know, where they had their, you know, wherever that part was. And so that's part of what it was used for. It wasn't just used on food, but it was used in the land for fertilizing. And salt, what? Makes people thirsty, and we become someone that God can use when we remain with him, when we continue to build with him, when we continue to count the cost, when we say, is this a worthy war, Lord? Do you want me to go to war? Remember in the Old Testament, they would ask first, wouldn't they? Most of the time when they didn't, sometimes they got beat, didn't they? They got beat down. Oh, we forgot to inquire of the Lord. He didn't want us to go. Sorry, guys. Sorry, your sons were killed, folks. But God didn't want us to go. We forgot to inquire of him first. They hadn't put the Lord what? First. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Love the Lord your God with all of our heart first. Love me more than everyone else. We shouldn't always listen to what the opinion of men, but the wisdom that comes from heaven. Because why? The wisdom of men does not have power with it. You have to put your own effort into it, and then it becomes a striving in the flesh. But when we receive God's wisdom, there comes an empowerment with his wisdom. And he gives us strength to fully overcome and to win the battle. Amen. So anyway, this is what he's talking about. If we want to be his disciple, how many want to continue to be his disciple in 2023? Maybe you've been his disciple, but you really want to say, Lord, is there things in my heart? Is there anything else, Lord? And there probably is. He's working on us. Amen. What else do I need to lay down, Father? See, the path of the disciple, the path of the righteous gets brighter. The path gets brighter, but the way, sometimes that it also gets narrower. Amen? And we have less that we can do. We've got to follow him very closely. And listen and observe. And of course, first of all, doing his sayings. He said, if you really love me, if you really, why are you my disciple if you're not going to do what I say? Why do you say, Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? And some of the things that he said there was to what? Forgive. To pray for our enemy. He had just said these things. He said, you want a strong house? You want it built on a rock? You got to dig deep. You've got to make a decision. You've got to decide. I'm going to let some things go. I'm going to let my own agenda. I'm going to lay my agenda down. I'm going to follow after you, and I'm going to seek you, Father. I'm going to inquire of you. I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit and let him help me to overcome these areas in my life where my character may not be up to par. Or maybe I just got a little lax, Lord, and I've gotten a little bit lazier. I've drawn back a little bit from you. Forgive me, Father. I want to come again. I want to come and be strong, Lord. I want to be stable. Because that's what the Word of God does. It says when we let the Word of God come into us, we become so strong and stable. He that what dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide what under the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's my strong tower. That's what we begin to see. And we become strong. It says in Colossians that he will what? Establish us. He will strengthen us. That Word of God gives us that strength. It gives us the establishment when we become what? Doers of that. And of course, we have our own things when we spend time praying in other tongues, speaking out the very perfect will of God for our life. We begin to discover all that he has for us. And even when we see it, we keep praying it out. We keep walking it out. And sometimes it's a step by step. It's day by day. It's moment by moment sometimes. Amen. Sometimes it's minute by minute. You know, this is one of them days, Lord. You know, it has not just rained, but it has poured upon me. And it looks like the enemy wants to overtake me. My flesh is giving me a battle, and I want to explode, but I'm not going to, because you are my help, Lord. I say the Lord is my strength, and we resist with his help and with his strength, because we've been doing what he said, and we become more and more like Jesus. Amen. That is the goal of the disciple. That is the goal of the follower. That is the goal that we have in our life. That as he is, ultimately we'll be just like he operated in the earth. We will operate. But it doesn't necessarily begin. See, there's more power than just power to raise the dead. A lot of times we talk about power and we think, oh, great miracles, and we should see them and we want to see them. But there's power with God when we lay down our life, when we humble ourselves, when we become diligent, when we're willing to sacrifice, when we're willing to say, I give my life to you, Lord, I give you control. There's something about humility and laying down our life and seeking him with our whole heart that just draws him to us. And he grants us grace and power. Amen. To walk with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to help us this year to continue to walk with you in 2023. That, Lord, we'll be still and know that you are God. that we'll seek first your kingdom, Father, and your righteousness, and know that you will add things to us, Lord. That, Father, we'll trust you with all of our heart, our soul, Lord. We'll love you more than we love any other person around us, Lord. More than we love the things that we own, Father. More than we love, Father God, our own life, our own plans. And we'll allow you to help us to take our cross and crucify the things of our flesh, Father. Lord, we want you to know that we love you. We know you're so good, Lord. But in your goodness, Father, you have given us boundaries. You have given us a way, Father, to walk with you. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we surrender our lives to you fresh and anew. And we receive your strengthening in Jesus' name. For this year and the years to come, that we can follow you and truly be your disciples and truly be transformed by you, Father. Lord, to where our character is that of love and holiness and truth, Father, and righteousness and strength. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you. And we thank you that you'll go with us now from this place. And you'll continue to draw us unto yourself, where we will continue to receive strength and continue to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen.